That was a long pause. I will edit that. Hello, happy New Year's Eve, listeners.
Happy New Year's Eve, listener Joe.
Thanks a lot. Why don't we start when this man's left? Yeah. It's peculiar. Yeah, it's right. Thank you. Happy New
cheers.
Year.
Thank
cheers,
you.
Man. Man. Okay.
Good, 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 good vibrations.
What are you doing?
Good, good, good. I'm the Beach Boys. Have you heard of me?
No.
Yes, I'm a popular
band.
Hang on
a second. I have. You've got the nutty lead singer.
I am the nutty lead singer.
Are
yes.
You?
Yes. Good, good. I've been in bed for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, I'm giant. I'm like a whale and I'm very depressed. But I'm a genius.
Where's this going?
Nowhere. I was thinking maybe a game we could play.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd pretend to be different bands. I mean, I started off with an easy one because I sung the biggest hit there and I told you who I was very early on. But what do you think? Is it a New Year's Eve game?
Are you drunk already?
A little bit.
Hello, listeners. This is Adam and Joe's BBC Six Music. It's New Year's Eve.
Woo.
We're building up to the biggest party night of the year. It's when I have a big party. Or where's actually when someone else has a big party?
I'm going to belch.
I don't go.
I'm going to belch. Is that a problem?
No, go on. Oh, dear.
It's a bit much, isn't it, for New Year's Eve? But it is New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The conventional rules have been thrown out of the window.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry about that. That's a revolting thing to do.
Adam's out of control.
I'm totally out of control.
He's making no sense. He's lost all control of all of his...
faculties.
Of his wind output mechanisms in his body.
My wind farms.
The talking noises make no sense. The burping noises are out of control. But don't worry, I've got it together.
Yeah.
And we're with you now until... 10
in the evening.
In the evening, at which point anybody with any sense will no longer be able to form any coherent thoughts.
Listen, in a way, this is the best part of the whole New Year's Eve experience.
It's true, isn't it? It's the build-up to the chaos.
Yeah, because from around 10 until midnight, and certainly around the midnight hour, it's no one has a good time, really.
No, it's a mixture of melancholy and kind of crazy, sort of sinking ship lunacy.
We'll talk more about that later on, but right now, I think we should play a lot of music. We've got a lot of fun music lined up for you, Joe and myself.
It's all upbeat.
Yeah.
No sad songs.
We've picked some really good stuff that we hope you're going to enjoy, and right now, we're going to continue as we mean to continue on. That makes no sense, but it's Devo here with Whip It. Ooh, that's Devo.
Fantastic.
With Whip It. This is Adam and Joe here on New Year's Eve. This is pretty much the end of 2007, so I hope you've made the most of it, because it's almost over.
I haven't.
Have you not?
I don't think so.
Well, what did you want to do that you didn't do?
All sorts of things.
Whoa.
What am I going to do? I'm going to have to do them now.
You've got 5 hours left.
5 hours to do all the things I wanted to do this year.
Yeah, but plus we've got to do the show.
All right, well, let's get the show out of the way first.
All right, then. Listen, what I did, listeners, you know, because we always like to prepare a great deal for these programs here on Six Music, I went out and I bought a review of the year, a book from a bookshop, and it was reduced. It was £4 off because the year's almost over, so they figure, well, no one's going to be interested in the year anymore. So it was a little bit of a bargain, but I'm going to be flipping through it throughout the show.
There we go. It's a kind of, it's a review of the yearbook, so it's got pages on everything that happened in the year, which gives us the opportunity to do one of those exciting talk about what happened in the year shows. But, you know, looking at that book, I already feel like I'm living in the past.
Do you? I know, it seems like a long time ago, some of this stuff.
Well, something about 2007 reminds me of 1987.
In what way?
I just think that in the future, I can just imagine us in the future looking back at that book and thinking, why were we interested in any of those things? It feels like the past already. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it was
not the recent past, but the ancient past. You've got a lunatic kind of right-wing nut job in the White House, like you did in the 80s. You've got a power-crazed Thatcherite lunatic in the Labour House.
These are just the views of Joe Cornish, not the big British castle as a whole.
You've got a sort of man Thatcher. He left after a while. I'm not being controversial. He was very outspoken in his high regard for her polities.
Tony
Blurt, yeah.
Man Thatch.
Yeah, the man Thatch. So there you go, I rest my case.
Did you shed a tear when Tony Blair left the White House, the Brown House?
I didn't, no. I did not. But that was one of the many momentous things that happened in the year. And all through the show, we'll be going through the year. We've segmented it into themed portions. And we'll be discussing the highs and lows of the year.
Look, I've opened up a page here that's all about the Big British Castle, and it's entitled Auntie's Bloomers.
Yeah.
It's got a picture of the Blue Peter set with socks on there.
It was a tricky year for the Big British British Castle, of course. But we won't go into that.
It's okay now, because we've arrived.
We've solved
all the
problems.
We're going to fortify the whole castle. No one's going to be able to get in now. Everything's fine, because we've got a defence plan.
You know what? One of my favourite records of this year, one of my favourite singles of this year, was one that we played when we took over from Sean W. Keaveney on the Breakfast Show.
Yep.
That was our first little bit of tenure here at Six Music. And it's by Edwin Collins. It's called You'll Never Know. And we're going to play it right now.
Well, it's one of the comebacks of the year, isn't it, for Collins?
Absolutely.
In every way. So enjoy.
Edwin Collins with You'll Never Know My Love. One of my favourite singles of the year. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. We hope you're drinking responsibly.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget that 2007 has been the year when the government has decided to control various naughty things that the populace do, such as smoking indoors, drinking irresponsibly. Those are the only two things I can think of.
Fortress Britain.
Fortress Britain. It's time for the people of Britain to pull their socks up, stop messing about, stop being silly, generally, and, you know, just get in line a little bit more.
But here's the thing. One day, folks, you're going to look back at 2007 and think, we had it pretty good then. We were still wandering around without ID cards.
Yeah.
We could go pretty much wherever we wanted without being security checked and tagged.
Yeah,
and
the police didn't wear gas masks. They didn't have those electric batons yet.
Exactly.
They didn't instigate the Judge Dredd program, where police could issue death certificates on the streets. Is that going to happen?
That is going to happen.
That's supposed to happen in 2000 AD, so they're a bit late on that one.
Yeah, it's happening next year, I think.
Is it?
The new parking meters will kill you.
That kill you, like in Blade Runner.
Exactly,
yeah.
They'll kill you.
The other thing, of course, is that, you know, like these days people, grown-up people might say to you, do you remember when you could smoke on the tube? Do you remember when you could smoke on the bus?
In the cinemas?
Yeah, Adam and I remember that from our childhoods. And it seems like a distant memory from a world gone mad.
That's right.
And now people will, in the future, people go, do you remember when you could smoke in restaurants?
Hey, they'll say, do you remember when you could smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember when people used to be free to make up their own minds about the choices they made?
Thanks a lot, Tony Blair.
But then, of course, you could come back with Tony B. Liar. He was just protecting the people who were dying from passive smoking.
It's true.
Right?
It's
we're covering all the different aspects of this
all
debate.
The different aspects. It's a very good
Quite
thing.
Skillfully, I think.
And these are all good things. These are all very positive developments.
Very positive.
It's been a brilliant year for freedom. All around the world.
Where do you get that from?
I don't know. I'm just being positive.
Okay.
There've been a lot of very well thought out wars, brilliantly planned environmental interventions. You know, it's good to see the world really pulling its socks up and you know, taking on global warming in a united way.
You love pulling socks up, don't you?
I just think everyone should pull their socks all the way up over their heads and then hop around like big boinging dancing socks.
So there we go. That's politics. we've dealt with now from 2007. Who knows what we're going to be dealing with next?
Here's a glimpse. In the form of a... We can't tell you what's going to happen in the world next, but we're going to tell you a little something about what's going to happen on BBC Six Music next.
Which is more important.
Yeah, with this trail. Curtis Mayfield there with Superfly. This is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music, here on New Year's Eve, our exciting pre-New Year's Eve show. A show to take you up to 10 o'clock, of course. Then at 10 o'clock, we've got the Queens of Noise and all sorts of insane party antics happening here on Six Music. So whatever you do, stay tuned.
New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve.
I love this song.
Drinking all the way.
Classic song.
Oh, what fun it is,
too drunk. Too drunk.
Until you're very drunk.
Drunk.
Oh, New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve. I hate it so much. Always in the wrong place on New Year's Eve.
I love that song. I'm so pleased you sung it.
Oh, it's New Year's Eve.
I don't like this song. I hate this song.
Oh, it's New Year's Eve.
This is a bad song. I'm glad that song stopped.
I'm going to release that next year.
Really? There's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Because,
who, you know?
So what a year it's been, listeners, especially in the world of movies. That's right, the glamorous world where anything can happen, where CGI effects rule the world, actors like Dame Judi Dench and Helen Mirren do all the business with the wigs, and it's a brilliant time
to go to the
cinema. It's all
Dench and Mirren, isn't it?
It's all Dench and Mirren. In 2007, the cost of going to the cinema went up to £4,000.
No way!
Per Malteser.
That's too much.
£4,000 for each Malteser.
Each Malteser, not
Can
even a
ticket.
That?
How much is a
that
ticket?
That sounds made up, doesn't it?
Isn't it? How much is a ticket to the
a
cinema?
A ticket costs £20,000.
That's too much.
It's too much, isn't it? Unless you go in Peckham, where it costs 10 pence.
10p.
But you will be killed.
That's right, that's the
downside.
So
those are the two choices. Alternatively, of course, there's the world of high-definition video, which arrived with a flash and a WAS in 2007. And of course, there was a terrible feud between Blu-ray and HD and all sorts of conspiracy theories.
Blu-ray, Ray Charles, Ray Davis, they all had a big fight.
That's right, against HD. Helen Dickinson is the woman who invented that. And anyway, what a year it's been for movies. It's been the year of threequels. Spider-Man 3.
Didn't like it.
Pirates of the Spider-Man 3.
Haven't seen it.
Harry Spider-Man 3.
Liked it.
And Spider-Shrek 3.
Disappointing.
Disappointing. And Ratatouille.
Liked it.
Liked it.
So I just said that I liked Harry Spider-Shrek. You just made that
also,
up.
Also, Live 3? Die Hard 4 was out as well. 300, it's all the threes. It was all about threes.
Uh-huh.
And also Transformers 3.
Right.
That's not true. That's just the first one. But there will be a third one. but a lot of threequels. Some of them average and some of them poor. You've got to celebrate the average, otherwise where would you be?
Exactly. Back in Peckham.
Thorpe Park.
What was your favourite film this year?
Well, that's hard to say.
Go on.
Why? One of my...
It's not
because,
that hard.
Because I don't just really
go,
have one.
Well, my favourite film was
David Fincher's Zodiac was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that very much indeed.
I even forgot about that.
I'm looking forward to the director's cut coming early in 2008.
Well, I'm looking forward to the sequel for that one.
Yeah. But we'll talk about forthcoming movies a bit later. I also enjoyed Superbad.
That was great.
Which ties in with the song we just played, were it to be called Superbad rather than Superfly.
You know, Superbad, for the first time in a long time, I thought, what a great time to be a young person with these kind of movies. It reminded me very much of the kind of things that we used to see when we were youngsters in the
80s. Well, Judd Apatow is a similar age to us, so he's sort of recreating that John Hughes era, but with a little more swearing and graphic references to lady parts.
But a lot more heart as well, I thought, you know? Like, it's sort of, he's got his cake and he's eating it there, and it's delicious cake because it's got all the filth and the naughtiness that young people love, but there's also a real nice, you know, feeling to the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? It's not creepy and
yucky. Absolutely.
Like,
one of my favorite scenes of the year,
like Porky's,
was probably Michael Cera and Jonah Hill declaring their love for each other at
the
end of Superbad. I thought that was very sweet. Anyway, listen, it's time for a bit more music. Oh no.
Oh, what's the matter?
What, are we gonna play the B-52s?
Yeah, but not Love Shack.
I'm saying oh no, because I just can't believe how good this is.
What's your problem with the B-52s?
Oh, nothing. Oh no. I can't believe this is so good. Hit it.
B-52s.
The B-52s with 52 girls.
This is a peach. I picked this one. I'm gonna beat Joe up in a second for not liking it and being faintly dismissive.
I love it.
That's the B-52s with 52 Girls. This is Adam and Joe here on New Year's Eve 2007. We're with you for the next 2.5 hours, but right now it's time for the news.
The Chemical Brothers with Do It Again. They've done it again. Released another smashing record.
That's nice, man. You're really good at this radio thing.
Thanks a lot, man. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. We're creeping closer to the all-important moment. If you're into... like rocks and stones and new age type things, then this is a very critical moment for you.
Chakras.
All your ley lines are intersecting, various planets are aligning, beams of light are shining through staffs of Ra and illuminating the place where you should be digging early in the new year to find various grails or lost goblets.
That's right, big underground caverns, the doors are preparing to swing open.
Cats' behaviours, the behaviour of cats, sorry, I'll rephrase that, the behaviour of cats, is very important. You should write it down and take it to a witch and she'll tell you what it means. All that sort of thing.
It's all happening, is it?
It's all going off. This is a very exciting period
sure.
in every sphere of life.
You absolutely sure?
Yeah. I mean, we've done politics and films and cats.
We've got lots more.
What more do you want?
We were talking in the music there, just Joe and myself. We were dancing around. I tried to kiss Joe. He backed away. And then we had a little bit of an awkward moment. But then after that, when the conversation got going again, we started talking about the stupidest argument that you've had all year.
That's true. And that conversation was connected to our chatting about the year's movies, because one of the stupidest arguments I had this year, I very nearly fell out with a good friend of mine, because he preferred Knocked Up to Superbad, and I much preferred Superbad to Knocked Up.
Now, Superbad didn't make such a dent, did it, really?
No, in the UK it was released concurrently with another film, maybe even Stardust or something, and it was buried by whimsical fantasy. The swearing and boobs were overpowered by whimsical fantasy, and it kind of died a death. The two guys in it aren't as famous over here as they are over there.
Right.
Jonah and Seth. I can call them by their first names because they're friends of mine.
Are they really?
Not really, no. But yeah. I have met them a couple of times.
Seth Brundle. Who's the guy, the young guy in it, who's the sort of
Michael
main protagonist?
Sarah,
the slightly weedy guy?
Yeah, Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. He's brilliant. What's he been in before?
He has been in such films as...
the Michael Cera story?
Juno.
Juno?
That's not out yet. He's been in Arrested Development. He played George Michael in Arrested Development. That's his best known role.
Not the singer George Michael.
No.
Yeah.
They're in the joke.
Right.
But anyway, back to my argument. Do you know that thing where you're very enthusiastic about a film, and by being enthusiastic, when you're enthusing about it to someone, you can almost see them not liking it.
Right.
Even though they haven't seen it.
Yes.
Because what's happening subtextually, if I may be so pretentious.
Oh, I'd love you to be.
Is that one's claiming the film as one's own.
Right.
And the other person goes, it's like Joe's just licked that film all over.
Well, both of us have had that as well. We don't like being the recipients of something that's been overhyped if we haven't seen it.
No, I guess that kind of thing happens in a marketing sense as well. But between two friends, if a friend of yours enthuses too much over an album or a film, it's like they've had a bite of the biscuit.
It's a bit of a turn off.
Like they've, you know,
taking a little pop on it.
Taking a little pop on it, yeah. Had a little fiddle with it. You don't want to bother with it, you know. Sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Anyway, this happened with me and my friend and Superbad. Glad I said what?
Sloppy seconds.
Sloppy seconds is simply when you've taken a spoonful out of the dish of meringue. That's where the phrase comes from.
And you've got meringue all over
your face.
And you're
the second to take the meringue, and they've merely made a bit of a mess of it. Not a meringue, a fondue, or a blancmange.
Or a mousse.
A banana split. That's something else.
And
move on. Better play some music.
No, I want to hear the end of the argument.
Well, that's it. So I was really enthusing about Superbad. He went to see it. He came back with kind of a long face and a slight look of disgust in his eye, as if he thought less of me for liking it. And then I sort of developed this idea that he was boring for not liking it. Because in my mind, Knocked Up is a fake subversive film. It's supposed to be about, about an anarchic guy who gets a woman pregnant. But actually, it's a bit like a modern version of the Steve Martin film Parenthood.
Right.
They're both lovely films, but it's actually a very conservative proposition.
Yeah. Well,
it's about
always
giving
are,
everything up and settling down. Whereas Superbad is genuinely quite like subversive and anarchic, I reckon.
About male friendships and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But in saying this, I've taken it onto the level of a basic schism of political and lifestyle views, fundamental ideological views, which that's a fundamental New Year's Eve. But do you know what I mean?
It
became such a kind of heavy thing. It was more than disliking the film. It was like, I don't like you anymore.
Oh, that's horrible when that happens, man.
It's sort of, we couldn't help it.
Have you resolved it now?
Oh, completely, yeah.
Oh, good, I'm glad. Incidentally, folks, if you haven't seen Superbad, you should. It's amazing. It's really a lovely film.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll do very well on DVD. One to catch on DVD.
That's right. Yeah. And here's a track that I've chosen for you. It's been played a lot everywhere, and especially on Six Music.
In a row.
But have I? No, that was Chemical Brothers. I didn't choose that one.
Yeah, you chose the B-52s,
though. Stop it, Willie. You've got stuff coming up later. We've both got six.
Oh, I do, actually. I've got a good one
coming
up.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is one of the albums of the year. I'm not sure it was released this year, though, was it? It came out, in 2006, and it was sort of re-released and did very well. Some people write them off as a kind of Bruce Springsteen tribute act.
Bruce Springsteen tribute act.
I don't care, because they're good. This is the Hold Steady with Stuck Between Stations.
As I saw Bruce Springsteen tribute band to me.
That was the Hold Steady with Stuck Between Stations. You know, you'd have to be some kind of churl to not even get a little bit of pleasure out of that. Come on. Go on then.
What? I got a little bit of pleasure out of that.
Yeah, that's very decent of you.
This is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music. Happy New Year's Eve, listeners. We hope you're drinking moderately.
Yeah.
Being nice to everybody around you.
Hey, can I give you some practical advice, listeners? And you too, Joe Cornish. Have a glass of water. Right now.
Hydrate yourself.
Yeah. Pull it back, yeah?
Just pull it back.
Pull it back for a couple of hours. You can get going again a bit later in the night. You won't regret it. Then you'll be in good shape. Mm. You'll feel less bad tomorrow morning. Think about how you're going to feel tomorrow morning.
Do you know what? We're assuming that everybody's in a kind of a crazy party mood, but according to statistics that I've just formulated, during that song, I made 1,000 phone calls.
Did you?
And I've drawn up some percentages. Mm. And apparently 63% of people really don't bother on New Year's Eve.
Right.
They're tired. They're partied out. They just have a bit of an early night. Maybe a little drink with a close friend. And just take it easy.
They might do some praying.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't agree.
No.
Maybe they don't even drink. You know,
they might just don't drink.
They might have a cup of cocoa.
Yeah, this awful lump and cliche that everyone's getting drunk and making a mess of themselves is an awful lump and cliche.
It is. It's an awful lump and cliche.
Look at the size of it. And it's not backed up by those statistics that I recently made up. But you know, I usually just have quite a quiet time.
Yes, no, that's generally what I'll do. I'll come back from church and I'll kneel down and I'll pray to a selection of that shirt
with the spikes on the inside.
That's right. Mm. Pray to a selection of gods, and then I will write
Cadbury's gods.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do some writing. I'll write a couple of poems. This is I'm not doing it tonight because we're doing the show. But this is what I would normally do on New Year's Eve, and then I'll have a half a glass of tea.
Really?
Yes. And then after that, I'll lie down on a person.
Which way up will you be?
The wrong way round.
What do you mean? Oh, I see, with your feet on their head.
No, my head on their feet.
Your head on... That's the same.
Is it?
Yeah. Who is this person?
I can't tell you. It doesn't matter.
Is it David Cameron?
It is David Cameron.
I think it is, isn't it? You love David Cameron.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm saying this as if I've got something to move on to.
After this, I want to chat a little bit about some more of the events of last year. Especially, you know, Jay Goody and the Big Brother thing. I think we should, you know, because obviously it's been talked about and dissected endlessly, but I really think the public need to hear our opinions on the subject.
Okay.
So after this, which is our producer Jude's favourite single of the year. Is that right, Jude? Yes. This is Of Montreal with Suffer for Fashion.
There we go. Well, that was an abrupt ending.
It was a little abrupt there.
The band are called Of Montreal.
How very rude.
The song's called Suffer for Fashion. It's our producer Jude's favourite record of the year. She's obsessed with those people.
She loves that
guy. She cannot
stop
going on about them.
Favourite gig of the year,
on
she said
on
as well.
On.
We'll talk about favourite gigs of the year in a second. But first, Joe Cornish, I don't know if you know this, but there's been a massive race row.
What?
On the programme Big Brother.
That seems like 1,000 years ago.
Doesn't
you know,
it?
I wish it was.
Yeah. Did you watch that show in the end, the whole Jade thing?
Yeah, I watched the race row, but that was it. Then I've drawn a line under Big Brother in life in general.
Yeah.
I hereby promise that I will never watch it ever again.
What was your little epiphany there that stopped you?
Because
you
used
enough. To like those.
I just had enough. You know, if you eat one sort of food, like if you ate wagon wheels non-stop for a week, you probably wouldn't be able to eat them again, right?
Well, you could do a documentary about it.
Morgan Spurlock style. There's another thing to talk about
right
later. Remind me about that.
Okay, I'm writing it down in the minutes.
But you know, I'm sick of it.
Absolutely.
And I think it's about time that channel dropped that show. I think it's killing them.
But people like the show.
Only idiots.
No, man, wait, whoa,
no,
wait, hey, whoa.
I'd no insult to people. I'm not saying you're an out-and-out idiot if you watch Big Brother, but certainly for the time that you're watching Big Brother or talking about it, you are an idiot.
Now, listen.
And I think the people that watch that are Heat magazine readers, and I'm going for broke. I just think that kind of thing's over. I think it's yesterday's news. I think it was brilliant about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It felt new and exciting and interesting. Mm. Now, it's time to move on.
But it's not just the novelty, man. I know what you're saying. There's times when you watch those things, it's totally unedifying, and you feel dragged down into the dirty place. Mm. But occasionally, not so much with the whole Shilpa Jade thing, because it was a kind of insane, hysterical construct about her being racist. She's mainly just daft, not so much racist. But the whole racism thing is out of control in lots of different ways anyway. But the previous year, the whole Barrymore one and the George Galloway thing,
That you couldn't have written that stuff, man.
Hey, that was the previous year.
That was like a play, amazing play. And sometimes you watch those things, and it really is an incredible insight into what makes people human that you don't get anywhere else, really.
Mm. Yeah, you may be right. I'm just saying, personally, you know, Ed, from my point of view, at the end of the day, when all said and done, lads,
sport
is that I think I've seen it all. I've had enough.
You've had enough. Oh my lordy! Well, listen, you've got your wishes, because they're not going to do celebrity
Big Brother.
Yeah,
it's coming back in the blooming summer. In fact, that's one of the nice things about the beginning of this year. You don't have that terrible thing where you start the year, there's a sort of vacuum of boredom, and there to fill it is blooming Big Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother. I used to love that.
I hate it.
They're not doing it.
Anyway, music time after that ranting.
It's
a trail time.
And it's all about Sergeant Pepper. I don't, what possibly could there be left to say about Sergeant Pepper that hasn't been said? We're going to find out right now.
Bly and the Family Stone with Dance to the Music here on BBC Six Music. It's New Year's Eve. It's very exciting for everybody, whether you're celebrating or not, isn't it?
Yeah, only about 4 more hours to go now. Just less than 4 more hours until New Year's Eve, the big moment. You might get to snog someone.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't snogged somebody for years.
You might get to. If you're in the right place at the right time, everyone will be kissing each other and you can just take advantage.
Wow.
You know, you just let it last a little bit too long and bang, you're in there. Because generally, that's the time of year where you could legitimately go for the mouth rather than the cheek. Don't you think? That sometimes happens.
This is a disturbing scenario because, I'm not going to be with you on New Year's Eve.
You're standing around, you're in a room, there's maybe 4 girls there, 4 blokes, they could just assume that everybody's paired off already, right? Maybe married couples in their long relationships and things. There's no singletons drifting around, but you all know each other very well. The clock strikes 12, everyone starts kissing each other. But it's like you're really good friends. You've known each other for years. Some of the girls might think it's acceptable to go for a little kiss on the lips there.
Do you need to talk about your marriage?
Well, marriage is a wonderful thing, and I enjoy being married more than almost anyone in the world. Mm. But still, a little random kiss on the lips there at New Year's Eve might be nice.
Who are you thinking about? Who are you thinking about?
My best
Maybe
friend.
Maybe Karen Matthews.
No, my wife's best friend and her sister. No, I'm not.
Wow, it's going to be fireworks for New Matthews. Year's Eve at the Buxton household. That's for sure.
Listen, she's going to be trying to get some snogging action off my more hunkier friends anyway, so it's all...
It's all a bit of a disaster, isn't it, really?
Listen, I painted a picture.
No, it's lovely. It's lovely.
It's like
the 60s, the 70s. It's like the ice storm.
It's not like the ice storm. I knew you were going to say
that. It's brilliant.
Yeah, we all pop the keys in the bowl there and then go off.
Of course, I'm just in a long-term relationship. I'm too cowardly to get married because I just like to entertain the idea that anything's possible. So in a way, I'm living in more of a fantasy land than you are.
Wow.
If such a thing is possible.
Listeners, you got a double slice of truth cake there.
Yeah, wow, that's lucky.
And there was some irony icing on top of it, but mainly it was the ingredients were truth.
I wonder what David Bowie's doing on New Year's Eve.
I wonder what David
does.
He probably does something superlative.
I do something superlative on New Year's Eve.
With a little bit of theatricality. And they probably, yes. And they probably do amazing charades. But charades for
David
pieces
Bowie's
of work.
Amazing at charades. Mm. He can do The Accused without making it
filthy.
Libelous.
Exactly. But they probably do like Jacques Brel songs and stuff as
true.
Subjects.
Him and Iman. Is he still married to Iman?
Very much so.
Yes. And he probably has Joey Bowie around. Is it Joey?
It's Joey these days.
It's Joey.
And Joey's around there, yes.
I've met him.
Iman's got many children. When have you met Joey?
I met him in the video shop. Don't you remember? That story?
Yes, I do remember. Tell it again.
I can't really remember what happened, but I didn't find out he was Bowie's son until after I'd spoken to him.
Oh my gosh.
He was telling me he made short films.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of short films?
Can you imagine what kind of short films
my son makes?
Here is some David Bowie anyway. It's a reason for this terrible,
nicely, isn't it?
This terrible impression fest. This is David Bowie's song, what is called Moon Age Daydream.
Did you know he did this song by cutting up words and rearranging them on a board?
Like cutting up words and rearranging them. Just sounds like someone else. Here we go. Here's some David Bowie. David Bowie with Moon Age Daydream. And we are nearly entering the Moon Age. 2008.
2008. What is the short term for 2000 and... Oh, no, we had the noughties, didn't we? I'm just talking rubbish. Adam.
Yeah. Yes, the noughties. We're not out of the noughties yet.
There's no shortism for the actual individual year, is there?
No.
Like, what? I'm going mad. What shortisms have there been for any year?
Let's not delay this. Let's not prolong this.
Oh.
Just pick up another subject.
Go on, bang. You forgot about Hot Fuzz in your movies of the year.
That's true. Hot Fuzz for us is more than a film. It was sort of a way of life for a bit, wasn't it, Adam? Because Adam was in it, of course, and I did loads of stuff behind the scenes and stuff.
Where can people find your documentary, Joe Cornish?
Actually, only on the American versions of Hot Fuzz.
Right.
On the American DVD or the American 3-disc DVD is my documentary. But, of course, I was writing a script with Edgar, so I was with them when they toured America earlier this year.
Good times.
They were good times.
That was fun, man, and it was one of the most successful, certainly, homegrown movies of the year.
Certainly was. It made about 20 grand in the UK. Unfortunately beaten by the infinitely superior Mr. Bean's Holiday.
20 million even.
20 million, I'm sorry. I believe Mr. Bean made about 22 million.
That's right.
Which makes it two better than Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Which notes, is, have you seen either of those films? You've seen Hot Fuzz, obviously.
I have seen Hot Fuzz.
Have you seen Mr. Bean's Holiday?
I haven't seen the Holiday of the Bean.
It's almost scandalous that it's more successful.
Well, there's a lesson there of some kind, isn't there?
It's for the little kids.
It's for the little
kids. The money's in the under 10s.
And for the bean people.
Yeah.
And there are many bean people around. Does bean people, the bean man, does he speak in English in this one?
Yes, he says, bean.
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 Yeah, and he doesn't do any other talking.
He says, can. Can.
What?
Can? Yeah, because he's trying to get to the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh,
that's the plot. So he says, can.
Right.
He has trouble speaking.
It's the international language of humorous, rubbery faces, though, isn't it? That's why it's so popular, because it doesn't exclude anyone except, of course, comedy fans. But there's notes. I mean, you can be snobby about being.
You can be snobby.
It's easy to be snobby.
I'd tell you a good little prank to do.
What?
If we were still in the prank game.
Yeah.
I'd dress you up as Mr. Bean. I'd hide a camera. And I'd have you attempt to do some of the things Mr. Bean does.
Right.
Make friends with a small boy he doesn't know, you know, cause trouble in a restaurant with lobsters, and see what the genuine public reaction would be.
Right.
I warrant it wouldn't be charm and mild amusement. It would be...
Arresting.
Police intervention.
Instant police
and
intervention.
Arresting.
Notes on a Scandal was also a big UK-based hit, UK-produced hit. You weren't such a fan of the Scandal notes, were you?
I thought it was a bit overcooked, overbaked.
Oh,
I enjoyed watching it.
I enjoy my films overcooked.
Do you?
Yeah.
You like them with burnt edges.
Yeah. I thought it was nice. I mean, it's mainly because I've got a fixation about Cake Blanket. She's adorable.
She's adorable.
And some of
course, I was in a scene with her in Hot Fuzz.
That's right.
Kate and I have acted together.
Cate Blanket was in Hot Fuzz, if you don't know this already, folks, but she was disguised heavily. You know, she played Simon Pegg's girlfriend in the film.
Yeah, she was a CSI officer, so she had a mask on. She was disguised. But the eyes gave it away. She's got beautiful elven eyes, featured in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
She's... Oh, I would I'd be happy with...
Yeah.
Cake time.
Some New Year's Eve.
Some blanket
naughty
action. Right, now, more music. Would you like a disco classic, Joe Cornish?
Oh, yes, please.
Here's Donna Summer, then, for you. I'm Giorgio Moroder. Welcome.
Thanks. Hey, Giorgio. That's Donna Summer with I Feel Love. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on New Year's Eve, the most exciting night of the day.
It's the most exciting night of the day, the most exciting night.
Which isn't saying much, because, of course, there's only one night per day.
Of the day.
So it's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Now, we were just talking in the break there about the films, again, that we've seen this year. Obviously, we're going to be focusing heavily on the pop cultural aspect of the last year, because that's what we tend to occupy ourselves with. But Joe was talking about one of his favourite films, A Good Year, the Ridley Scott film.
Thanks for bringing it up. Was that this year?
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, listeners, I wouldn't say it's one of the one of the non-ironically best films of the year, but in terms of a sort of dazzling mess of, you know, it's almost like A Good Year. You've sort of got to see it at the cinema. I saw it at the Empire Leicester Square. Sitting two rows behind me was John Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you that before, looking very grumpy. And the thing about it is, it's like being invited to Provence for a couple of hours, where you spend your time in the most incredible country house, mm-hmm. With the beautiful surroundings, a beautiful lady called Abby Cornish, no relation, but a sexy young Australian lady, and Russell Crowe making a complete tit of himself.
Yeah.
And it's an awful, awful business, terrible story, embarrassing, cringe-making, awful series of disastrous scenes, but so beautifully rendered and so lovelily presented that it's sort of like, you know, a fantastic holiday with a mad uncle who leaves before you get bored of him.
It was so strange, though, that it was, you know, it's the team, obviously, that brought you Gladiator, Ridley yep, Scott and Russell Crowe.
Very macho.
Obviously self-consciously trying something totally different.
Well, you know, the common factor with a lot of bad films made by good people is beautiful locations.
Yeah.
Often set in the Bahamas or Hawaii, or, you know, you always know you're onto a stinker
yeah.
when they're set somewhere that's provided a lovely holiday
right.
for the crew.
Yeah.
And you know they're having a better time behind the camera than they are in front. And indeed, that was the business with a Goodyear. You know, I think Ridley even shot it at his own house or something. He made very little effort. He would have just been drinking cognac with Russell and eyeing up Abby Cornish's baton.
Having a wicked time.
And, yeah, getting the shots in the can as quickly and efficiently as possible. And that sort of thing.
He works so hard, Riddles, man.
He Riddles.
Just in this year.
Sir Riddles. He's a national treasure.
A good year. He went straight on to American Gangster while he was doing American Gangster. He was sorting out the new version of Blade Runner and doing that incredibly thorough and detailed stuff. We were talking about the Blade Runner special edition a few weeks ago on this program, but I've been watching even more of it since then. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving, that stuff. If you're in any way fond of that film, you must just get the full, massive 200 disc set, because it's got some incredible stuff. The one bit, did you check out the bit, Joe, when they've, because, you know, the new version of this film, which Ridley says will be the last, the final cut of Blade Runner,
Riddles.
Contains some little fixes, digital fixes on a few of the effects that he was frustrated about.
Riddle fix it.
And one of the riddles that Riddle fixed was a scene where Harrison Ford is talking to some snake dealer in a market kind
yes.
of thing, and the
scene through a window.
Yeah, and the lips were notoriously out of sync with the dialogue.
Yeah.
But he's fixed that, and here's how he fixed it. They got Harrison Ford's son, who is now the same age as Harrison would have been when he played the part of Deckard, and they put him against a green screen and got him to loop the lines and lip sync them. But it's amazing, because although Harrison Ford's son looks a little bit like him, I mean, quite a lot like him, obviously he's not an exact match, but his lips, his mouth, are exactly right, and they put on the scar as well, Harrison
really?
Ford's
but
scar.
But it's all seen through a sort of dusty window, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obfusked.
Exactly.
Can I say that word?
You can. I like
I
it
did.
When you say that word. And they matched his lips in there and everything with
wow.
his son.
Wow. You know, I didn't even notice that.
That's
I was
great.
Amazed that it was, you know, it worked and they were all talking proper, but I didn't know they'd done that. That's amazing.
I love Riddles.
Extraordinary business. Here's a bit more music now.
I picked this one for you listeners.
Yeah.
This is a band, a sort of offshoot from one of my favorite bands, Talking Heads, and this is the Tom Tom Club with Genius of Love. There you go, Genius of Love. Hope you enjoyed that one. This is Adam and Joe here on New Year's Eve 2007. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. But right now, here is the news. The news just doesn't stop just because it's New Year's Eve, right? The news is happening all the time, and here's more.
The Klaxons with Golden Scans. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. A very happy New Year's Eve to everybody. Hey, I'd just like to wish everyone who listens to our show and everybody who listens to Six Music a very happy birthday.
What are you talking about?
No, I meant a very happy New Year.
Oh, right. That yeah. makes a bit more sense.
Yeah. So we've been talking about movies in 2007, and of course there's lots of exciting movies to look forward to in 2008.
Mm.
I'm going to just list some of them to whet your movie tight. Indiana Jones 4.
Is that coming out next year?
Yeah, it's March, is it? Or May? I think it's May.
That's got to be rubbish.
No,
surely.
It's got to be good.
Surely rubbish.
Come on, anything
who's
with Harrison.
Who's the young protagonist?
Shia LaBeouf.
It's LaBeouf, a slice.
Shia LaBeouf.
Could I please have a slice of LaBeouf? Oh, this is delicious. Is he
yeah.
in there, is he?
It's him, the blanket's in there. Catherine Blanket.
Cake Blanket.
Is in there. Ray Winstones is
oh
in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And Harrison
please
Ford.
Tell me Ray Winstones is not doing his American accent.
I will slay your monster.
I will slay your monster.
No, I don't think he is. The Sex and the City movie, that's something for ladies to look
oh,
forward to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not going to be any good, is it?
No.
The
by
Happening.
No means.
M. Night Shyamalan Ram's new film, The Happening.
What's the twist?
Well, the twist is that it isn't.
It's got no twist.
No, it just isn't.
Oh.
But I can't tell you what is, because that would be giving it away. What? The Happening's about when plants take revenge on humanity.
Oh, Dave, the Triffods.
a little like Day of the Triffids. Hellboy 2.
Hellboy 2.
Speed Racer.
Is Hellboy 2 the same director?
Yeah, it's Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, well, that'll be interesting.
He made Pan's Labyrinth, you know, he's a good one. Speed Racer by the Wachowski brothers.
The Wachowski brothers.
Yeah.
What's Speed Racer then? Is that the cartoon?
Yeah. It's a kind of hyperkinetic, live-action, digital, multicolored fake fest.
That does not sound appealing.
Get Smart. With Steve Carell.
That wasn't a big show for British
people.
Not
over here, but it was over in America.
Yeah.
The Smurfs movie.
Oh, you're joking now,
aren't you? I'm not joking.
Are you joking?
No, a three-dimensional CG-rendered Smurf movie. Your kids, Adam, will be loving that.
They pretty much won't. I'm sure they won't. Oh, Lord.
Sweeney Todd. Starring Johnny Depp. With Sweeney. The demon barber of... Where?
Sweeney Todd the barber.
I tell the tale of Sweeney Todd. He served a dark and a hungry god. I love Sweeney Todd. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't think it's entirely the Sondheim musical, but it's a few Sondheim songs and then some new ones.
Right.
Johnny Depp singing. What's she called? Claire Barnett. Debbie O'Mags.
Yeah.
What's he called? Phyllis O. Potato Sack.
I have no idea who you're talking about. None.
Tim Burton's wife.
Oh,
Helena Bonham Carter.
Janine Potato Sack.
Janine Potato Sack. She's in it, doing the East End accent. Don't do it, Sweeney. Don't slice his throat for the pies. You'll have us in the nick.
It's Russell Brand.
That kind of thing. Yeah, he should be in it. Having modelled himself on Edward Scissorhands, of course.
Well, exactly.
He's kind of like a weird one.
And it's directed by Burton, is it?
Burton, yeah.
Oh,
Burton's menswear. Harold and Kumar 2.
Harold and Kumar 2.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. The wait is over.
Rambo 4.
No.
Yeah, get with it.
Stallone's back again.
Stallone. It's very good. The trailer for Rambo 4 is very good.
What's the premise?
The premise is he's living in the jungle. Some kind of liberal do-gooders pass through his jungle camp to try and rescue somebody from some band of gorillas.
Right.
Don't do it. You will die. And they ignore him and they go in and they try and rescue them and Rambo has to go in and save them. And in the trailer, he kills about 50 people.
Does he?
Slices their heads off.
Not do-gooders, though. He's not killing do-gooders,
is
he?
No, he's killing the baddies.
Right.
Cloverfield.
What's Cloverfield?
AKA Monstrous. It's about a big creature that that stamps all over New York and it knocks the head off the Statue of Liberty.
That's a strange title for a film.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams produced. You're very out of touch, Adam. It's all the rage on the internet.
Cloverfield.
Yeah, there's a trailer. Oh, the twist is it's all shot from Handycam. It's like a sort of high-budget Blair Witch, but instead of a witch, it's like New York yuppies at a party when a massive monster invades New York.
Ooh.
That's supposed to be quite good. People are very excited about that. Narnia 2.
Narnia.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, my Lord.
The new one from Pixar, Wall-E.
Oh.
Kind of looks a bit like Short Circuit all
very
over again.
Very excited about that. Had a trailer for that before Ratatouille.
On Ratatouille, yeah.
I was very excited.
Remake of Footloose.
No.
Yeah, they're remaking Footloose.
Who's in that?
Don't know. Bond 22, new Bond film.
Bond 20. Yeah. I'm up for that.
We like Craig Charles playing. He's reinvented the role of Bond.
The funky Bond bunker.
Yeah. Iron Man,
that's going to be
good,
isn't it?
That's going to be good. Good cast.
Who's directing that?
That's directed by Jon Favreau.
No.
Yeah, who done the brilliant, what was it called?
Elf.
The House in Space. Yeah, Elf and Zathura,
yeah.
Whatever it's called. The Dark Knight, the new Batman film.
Oh.
Yeah, directed by Christopher Nolan.
That's great.
With Christopher Bale, Timothy Bale.
Yeah.
What's he called?
John Bale.
John Bale. Christian Bale.
Oh, you know what? I saw...
Michael Keaton.
Is he in there?
And Jack Nicholson. And Prince doing the song.
Oh, great.
That's the old one, isn't it?
You know, I saw that Christian Bale film, Rescue Dawn, the other day.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disappointment.
It is a little bit.
If you've seen the original documentary, Little Dieter Needs to Fly.
Ooh, I'd like to see
which is
that.
The actual guy talking you through his story in the actual locations.
It's a bit nuts, though. I was a bit let
down.
Hey,
if you don't know what we're talking about, don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you do, then that would have been a bit interesting.
That's it for film news for the time being. Now, here is an exciting new sound for you, Joe. This is a man, a French man. He's from France, and he has harnessed the power of the synthesizer.
Motorboat.
The motorboat synthesizer.
Does he have a motorboat?
Yes, he does. He's got three.
Motorboat?
And he makes a record using computers and a robot called Johnny Face. And that's who he used for this one. It's called Equinox 5 and it is made by Jean-Michel Jarre. Enjoy. Here's the thunder. Can you hear the thunder?
Shush.
Can you hear the thunder?
Oh.
Yes, that's it. What
the music will sound like in the future.
Wow. When was that recorded?
It is not yet recorded. It's made.
Really?
It is being made in the future.
It was
beamed back by, there's a man. I have him. He goes forward in the future. He steals music and he sends it back to me.
Motorboat. That was Jean-Michel Jarre. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're drawing ever closer to a brand new year. And it's time for many people to make a clean start. Young offenders, people who've been trouble, people who've been in trouble with the law, people who've just had a frightful time.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. Pete Doherty.
Carl Barat. No, actually, he's fine, isn't he? But Amy Winehouse's dirty spouse.
Right.
The dirty spouse of Amy Winehouse.
It's time for British sportsmen to make a fresh start. Because Adam and I know nothing about sport.
No.
But there's one thing I do know. 2007 was a disastrous year.
Was it?
England have been knocked out of almost all major... what's the word they use?
Sports.
Sports. next year. And, you know, it's disturbing for me because I like to do my shopping when major sporting events are happening because the shops are emptier.
That's true.
And all the sport billies are going to be all over the place next year with nothing to do.
Right.
Like, you know, confused people.
Oh, yes. I didn't know. I thought England had won some cricket earlier on, didn't they, last year?
And wasn't that the year before?
I think it might have been the year before. Everyone was celebrating for a bit. Oh, because they thought they were going to do well in the rugby.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, English sports fans, there's only one of you, don't get so excited.
Right.
Because it's that very excitement that ruins it.
Yeah, the Henman factor, they call
it. Yeah, yeah. If we just assumed we're going to lose, then we might win.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear pundits getting excited about Britain's chances, you know it's hopeless.
That's why we have to celebrate people like Eddie the Eagle. You're very dismissive of that, though, aren't you?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
The cult of the loser.
The cult of the underdog. Anyway, that's our sports section for sports news. Fans. We do one a year. That's this year's. And we'll do another one at the end of next year.
Sports news. Now, we're going to move this. Well, this is just going to be a short link for you folks, okay? Because we want to keep the party happening. Yeah. Are you going to be dancing with anyone at the party tonight, Joe?
Well, you know, tonight I'm going to be at the Royal Festival Hall, seeing the super furry animals, and they're going to take over the whole place with all sorts of, bits and bobs. And yeah, hopefully, who knows?
Are you more excited about that?
I'm planning to get wrecked.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it going to be the bobs or the bits that are going to get you most excited?
I intend to bob the bits.
Right. And will you dance? Do you dance? I can't remember if you dance or not.
I dance. I'm a big fella, though.
Yeah.
I'm like a kind of a squid spinning on a stick.
What sort of, if you could compare your dancing style to a well-known dance-type person, who would that be?
It would probably be Jamiroquai.
Would it be?
Yeah.
If he had a
son with Mr. Tickle.
Right.
And that I would be that son. And if he was dancing, but couldn't.
Yeah.
That would be it.
I'm like a kind of midget Sean Ryder. No, like a
short
like
people
bears.
Are lucky, man. I'm not saying you're short, but people of average height are lucky because they can dance badly, but no one will see them. If you're tall,
yeah,
there's no hiding.
Right, I just shuffle from foot to foot. I do the sort of Bez thing, except with without the maracas. Mm. And I'll be doing it to this song right now, folks. Here's a little blast from the end of the 80s. My gosh, it's amazing to think this was the end of the 80s. There you go. Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, celebrating the year 2007, the year that's behind us, the year that's gone. An exciting year for us because it's when we started here on BBC Six Music, quite late in the year, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was very late. In a way that this year's been a kind of warm-up for us. And we're just getting into our stride. Towards the end of next year, we're really going to be in our stride.
I think we will have boiled off by the end of next year.
You reckon?
Yeah, we'll have a kind of a peak for a weekend, possibly midsummer when everyone's on holiday.
Yeah.
No one will hear it.
By then...
But it'll go downhill.
Right. Or one of us will have been fired. We will have put our foots in it somehow, said something either...
Our foots?
Yeah.
Mm.
Feets... the feats will be put in the it, and maybe something very, very racist or something really disgusting.
You'll say.
Yeah, both of us probably. Or maybe just something like really sexy.
Really, that's so arousing.
Yeah.
It'll be banned.
It'll be banned.
So it won't actually be rude or explicit, but it'll be just such a sort of sexy...
Arousing.
...thought.
Yeah.
Like what I said about the moose earlier. I think we may have done that with the moose.
You're also talking about Blade Runner. Joe was saying in that, well, after we were talking about Blade Runner.
Hey, no. Well, you can think, during this song, think about how you might phrase that in a clean way.
All right.
This is an obscure nugget from the past. It's by a group called The Mob. This is a great track. It's called I Dig Everything About You. That's The Mob with I Dig Everything About You. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on New Year's Eve.
Just to fill you in case you're wondering, folks, it wasn't that dirty what we were talking about before about Blade Runner. Joe was just saying he wouldn't mind getting involved in a little sandwich between Sean Young and Harrison Ford in their tryst there.
There's a deleted dirty scene on the Blade Runner Special Edition DVD. And yeah, I just like
it. Little replicant sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, one of the funniest bits, not to dwell on this Blade Runner thing, but one of the funniest outtakes on that DVD is all the different endings. Obviously, they had a big problem with the ending. The studio didn't like it being downbeat.
That's right.
So they shot this thing with Deckard and what's she called?
Rachel is the robot.
Yeah, Rachel in their little hover car, their little spinner, zipping off into the lovely countryside.
Going for a dirty weekend.
Well, kind of getting away.
Yeah.
And they've got all sorts of alternative exchanges between them. And the worst one, because of course one of the most famous kind of unresolved things is he a replicant?
Right.
So this ending that they didn't use kind of gives it away. She turns to him and goes, I guess we're made for each other.
That's right.
And then they give each other a very long pregnant pause just in case you don't get the resonance of that statement.
Yeah. Made for.
Yes.
By a robot making man.
Yes.
Anyway, that's enough Blade Runner stuff. Let's keep the music flowing, shall we? Keep the music flowing. What have we got now, Joe Cornish?
We've got Ike and Tina Turner Corner with River Deep, Mountain High.
That's The Clash. Should I stay or should I go? That was the point at which a lot of Clash fans were beginning to think, I don't know, you know, I just don't know. And then it was on that commercial, the jeans commercial. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then everyone else started thinking, I don't know about that either. I just don't know. But I always liked it. Thought it was quite good. Quite wicked. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here. Less than three hours to go.
Oh my gosh.
Before the bongs start belling
the big
and
bong.
The big bongs and the bong gets passed round and then Terry Wogan, explodes and, all the dust starts falling down from the shelves and, fireworks go off. Fireworks are one of the best aspects of New Year. Are they having like a big display in?
Yes.
In London town this
yes,
year?
Yes, they are having a big display on the Thames.
That's nice.
It's December, Frenchman.
Oh, it is the damn yeah, French
I
fireworks.
Think so. It's the amazing French guy what did the... I might be talking out of my lower hole.
Your
but the guy that did the amazing Sydney Millennium ones, I think he's a French fellow, and he's doing them on the Thames, and I... From my vantage point in the Royal Festival Hall, we'll have an extraordinarily good view.
I thought you were going to say, I am setting them off and giving a short speech. And now, Joe Cornish from Six Music's Adam and Joe radio show will set off the fireworks after this short speech. Go!
London, 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 I, Jojo Cornish, command you all... to dance!
That'll be it.
Yeah. That's the fireworks going off.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there. What a brilliant fantasy. If only that could happen.
Yeah.
Not only I, but everyone would be really happy.
They would be amazed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never got better than
you're going to talk about something proper.
Well, I was going to talk about the social networking phenomenon, Facebook, of course, which...
one of the major phenomenons of the year gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
About to have gone.
You're not a Facebook person, are you?
No, I'm a MySpace person. MySpace. And that's something that happened to me this year. I got a MySpace page.
Yeah.
Yeah. www.myspace.com/Joe Cornish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I've got about 1,200 friends.
You've got a lot of friends on there.
It's not very many, comparatively speaking.
That's good, man. Well,
I mean, bands that are low in the charts that have 50,000.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's just madness, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is like a sort of online flyer when you get to that many. You know, it's just a way of telling them, oh, our new single's coming out, and that's about it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's true. I love my friends. Yeah. I know them all by name.
Do you?
Munty. Splotch.
Sprockles.
Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah.
The Funtles, Crunch yeah. Bucket, Wendy,
Nancy Face,
Tibbs.
Yeah. And do you all get together and have little parties every now and again?
No.
You and your MySpace
no,
friends?
No. I got a very rewarding message, though, the other day. Somebody was asking me questions. Somebody else posted, oh, you know, don't imagine that Joe Cornish actually reads this. He's very successful and busy. He's probably got a PA that just posts on it for him.
Yeah, that's really what
happens. That's really what happens.
I don't
have a PA.
A baked PA.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I don't really have that many friends on Facebook because I always assumed the whole point of Facebook was to make it an accurate representation of how your friend network is constructed. And in fact, one of the enjoyable applications that you can get. Mm. Do you know about this whole thing? You can add applications.
Sure, yeah.
Right. One of the nice applications you can get is a sort of graphic representation of how all your friends are connected. And it's really an enjoyable, interesting little look at the sort of degrees of separation that connect all the people you know. It's really fun. You can say, oh, wow, look at him. He knows, like, the head of Channel 4 knows my friend over there. He can't be such a bad guy and all this kind of thing. But I keep my friends down to a minimum. So, like, if you don't know me and you apply for friend status on my Facebook account, don't be offended if I just don't get back in touch with you because I don't want to snub you by saying refused.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I don't want to snub you by saying no, because that seems too harsh. I'm flattered by the fact that you might want to be my friend, so why would I rebuke you so roughly? But I'm not going to say yes, because I don't know you, and that's not the point of the thing, right?
Right.
So I only have a couple of hundred friends on there.
Do you know what excites me about my Facebook page?
What?
I've got a massive list of people wanting to be my friends.
So this is Facebook or MySpace?
Facebook.
Facebook, right.
I ignore them.
You ignore them.
I must have about 49 friend requests.
I've got well over 350 now.
Have you really?
Yeah.
And I just ignore them.
I'm not.
When I said 49,
back.
I meant 49,000.
Did you? I meant 350,000. yeah, but that's what I mean. But I go through them every now and again just to make sure I'm not missing anyone, because you do, like, some of them slip through the net there. Mm. But then I just think, what am I doing? Because I don't have any salient information on my Facebook page. There's only one goofy picture of me, or maybe two or something. Never respond to any pokes. If someone sends me a bottle of beer or whatever, I just don't do anything about it. If someone bites me as a vampire, I just ignore them. I was very depressed to find that one of my friends, and this was someone who was a fan of the Adam and Joe show, got in touch and sort of said, oh, you know, and I let her through the net this time. How does she repay me? A couple of weeks later, she sends me one of the most disgustingly grotesque sort of Fear Factor circulars. If you don't reprint this, this'll happen kind of thing. And it was a really horrible one, all about, like, I'm a 9-year-old girl dying of cancer. Do you want me to die if you don't send this to... And it was like, what the? Why are you sending me that? That's a slap right back in my face there for letting you into my little gang.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. So anyway... Don't forget.
How long will this last, though? Do you think in a couple of years' time we'll all still have these sites?
It'll mutate, won't it, somehow?
Do you think?
Yeah. But no, I'm sure it's here to stay for a little while, because it's a good, enjoyable way of wasting your time. But, folks, don't, if you want to be my Facebook friend, don't worry about it too much. Just go to my website, okay? Adam Buxton. Adam-Buxton.co.uk. That's what it's all about. It's not about the prodding and the free beers and the vampire bites, okay? Now, more music. Here's one that I chose for you folks. This is Them, featuring Van Morrison, as it says prominently on the CD, just in case you're worried about who Them are. But this is from his old R&B days, starting out in Belfast.
Was it Belfast?
Yeah. And this is a cover of Bobby Blue Bland, rhythm blues classic, Turn On Your Love Light by Them. Yes, thank you. That's delightful. Them. Featuring Van Morrison with Turn On Your Love Light. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here. This is the last hour of our show, but don't forget that the Queens of Noise are coming up to take you from 10 o'clock until the midnight hour here on New Year's Eve.
I wonder what Van Morrison is doing on New Year's Eve.
Drinking
quite heavily.
Does he still drink, Van Morrison?
Getting quite grumpy.
Hard to believe that he still
having
drinks.
Having an argument, probably in some kind of fly-blown pub somewhere
like
in
Mickey
Ireland.
Rourke. In Barfly.
Yeah.
And or Shane McGowan in that documentary about Shane McGowan. Do you remember when he's in the pub there and
where's
he starts singing?
Pub?
Where's the pub? Oh, I love that. Love that, Shane.
So, of course, we're having we've had a brilliant idea for this show, which is to look back at the year's activities.
Yeah.
I thought of that one.
Yeah, no one else is doing it.
And of course, 2007 was the year, spoiler alert, that Harry Potter died.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, everybody bought the new Harry Potter book.
He died?
And discovered that he died.
Shut up.
That Ron Weasley beat him to death.
Right.
With a crockle stick.
A crockle bat.
A crockle bat.
Yeah.
Because he was jealous of the fact that Harry Potter had full sexual intercourse with
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Yeah.
So, and what a shock. I mean, loads of kids loved that series of books. And what happened? But they opened the back of the book and the last line was, to a bloody pulp.
The only thing left recognisable was the scar on his crushed head.
Of course, 2007 was also the year when Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe presented his sausage to the nation on stage. To the nation's theatre critics in Equus. That was this year, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, and I remember going to a dinner party. You know, we can be a little bit risque at this time of the evening, can't we?
Mm.
I remember going to a dinner party and some friends of mine had seen Equus.
Mm-hmm.
And being an idiot, all I wanted to know was about Potter's
the
wand.
The dimensions of the wand.
Yeah. And you know what the man said very satisfyingly? It was a gay couple. And man number one in the gay couple turned to me and said, sorry, I've had a slight mucus problem. I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. He said, it's a grower, not a shower. He said, it's a bobber.
A bobber?
A bobber.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
I don't think I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So, that was exciting.
Potter's wand.
Harry Potter's wand. But of course, a very tricky year there for Harry Potter fans, it being the end of the series of books. I personally gave up halfway through the second one.
Yes, all the stuff we said before is
wasn't true,
not necessarily accurate,
no.
And not meant to reflect badly on
us or anybody. Yeah,
because we'd like to. Avoid
but there we go.
Grand
Harry Potter fans can still be excited about lots more films that start well and get boring.
She will. She'll keep the franchise going. Surely
she's inventing
somehow.
A new franchise.
Is she
Harriet Potter? Yeah, Harry Potter's sister.
No.
Yeah.
You're being silly now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I just never know.
That would be a good way to go, wouldn't it?
Never know.
Lady Wizards.
Lady Wizards.
Terrible.
She's got Lady Wizards in the Potter franchise. What are you talking about? Here's one of the bands that I saw live this year. Very early on, I went to see the Arcade Fire playing in the St. John's Chapel in Smith Square. Somewhere like that. In London. You know, in Westminster. Do you remember Smith Square?
Yeah.
Conservative Party headquarters around there, and in the chapel
there a lot.
I'm always there campaigning, trying to get people to vote Conservative. And the Arcade Fire played a gig in the little church there, and I went along with Julian Barrett, little name dropping for you, from the Mighty Boosh, and Rich Fulcher, and we were all grooving around at the front. What a gig it was! The Arcade Fire. Here's a track from their first album, though. This is Neighborhood Number 3, Power Out. Eaton Rumbles! Love that song. Before that, you heard the Arcade Fire, and I was saying that was one of my favourite gigs of the year. Did you have any favourite gig-going experiences from 2007, Joe Cornish? I mean, I'm not a massive gig-goer myself. I think I only saw about three or four, but they were all pretty good.
I saw Cornelius, I think, at the Festival Hall. That was very good. Who else did I see? I saw lots of people at Green Man.
Oh, yeah.
That might be it.
Yeah, I didn't go to any festivals this year.
I have to think a bit harder. I'll think a bit harder during the next record.
I went to see Spoon at the Borderline. You know, I bang on about Spoon a lot.
Yeah.
They're one of my favourite bands. But, oh my gosh, it was the best gig ever. It was just incredible. The first time I've been to the Borderline, if you haven't been, folks, it's a little venue, kind of Tex-Mex bar with a teeny-weeny stage right in the centre of town in London. And it's just great. And, of course, with somewhere that small, it's only about 300 people you can squeeze in there. The sound is really, really good, and fantastic atmosphere, totally comfortable and nice, good crowd. Spoon were playing a blinder, and that was one of the best evenings I've ever had in my life. And then we all went out afterwards and had a drink together, because it turned out the guy I was with, my friend there that night, one of the people in the band recognized him as being in another band, and he came across and said, "Hey, you're the guy from the band," and I tagged along on their coattails. But wow, it was good fun, man. I had a great time. And the other best gig I saw this year was in Nîmes in France. I was out there on my holidays, and playing at that time were the Arctic Monkeys. They were playing in the sort of Roman Colosseum thing there in Nîmes, so we went along to see them, and they were playing a double header with the Arcade Fire. So it was Arcade Fire and the Arctic Monkeys. The Arctic Monkeys slightly wiped the floor with the Arcade Fire, it has to be said. But it was amazing in this big open-air amphitheatre. Best gig of my life, that one was. Totally converted to the Monkeys
as well. Which one was the best one? One was the best night of your life.
Yeah.
The other one was the best gig of
your
life.
I am confused. They all melded into a big, amazing gig pot.
Hey, listen, here's some music from the olden times. Crosby, Stills and Nash. This is quite a little-known track, but it's a great one. This is called Marrakesh Express. Crosby, Stills and Nash with the Marrakesh Express. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Coming up to sort of the final segment of our New Year's Eve show.
What's the service like on the Marrakesh Express?
It's very erratic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to use your mobile on there, or is it a quiet express?
No mobiles, no. No, it's all very retro.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
It's just
thanks for asking.
What kind of sandwiches have they got there?
I don't know what sandwiches. No pork.
No pork. That's
no.
A shame. I was looking forward to a ham and egg.
No sausages, mate.
Sandwiches on the Marrakesh Express.
So, another big event of 2007. I know you're not much of a video gamer, Adam, but it was, of course, the year that Halo 3 came out.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Master Chief, he's a man in a green outfit and a helmet, goes around shooting grunts and jumping around and stuff.
Yeah.
A very popular game. It made $170 million in 24 hours.
Wow.
So it's the highest grossing in terms of speed, the fastest and highest grossing pop cultural product ever.
Oh my lord. Mm. Halo 3.
Halo 3.
Is it, like Space Invaders?
It is like, well, kind of, yeah, it is, in yeah. fact, because the basic geometric dynamics of video games are kind of the same. You know, it's still attempting to shoot things before they shoot you.
Right.
But the perspective's changed a little.
Yeah, yeah.
And the, you know, the realism of the surroundings has changed a bit
right.
since then.
Now when you see adverts for video games in the olden days, it used to remind you that what you were seeing was not actually representative of the gameplay, i.e. it might have a fancy CG title sequence, but once you started playing, it would be a block.
Footage not in-game,
yeah,
I would say. Right,
it would be all blocky.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't say that so much. Now it says it actually is a representation of the gameplay.
Footage in-game.
In-game.
Yeah.
Because it is exactly. Wickle-wackles the air. It's all wackly and wicklies
yeah.
all over the area.
And you know, I'm a big movie fan, as you know. In fact, trying to think about gigs that I've been to, most of my big events this year have been amazing trips to films and stuff. Mm. But
like Beowulf.
Yeah, that was a good one. but one of the most exciting things, or one of the most kind of weird things, is that video games have almost got better than films.
Really?
Yeah, I find myself sitting in cinemas with my thumbs twitching.
Right.
Wanting to control things.
How many hours of 2007 were spent in front of your, play box?
You know, not many.
Yeah.
I did play Halo 3 through.
Have you got the Wii Wii?
I've got a Wii Wii, yeah. Nick Frost gave me his Wii Wii.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Frosty.
It is nice.
And are you playing any sports on there?
I played it for a bit, I put it away.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What's the problem?
Lack of games, Adam.
Lack of
Not enough
games
on the Wii. But Christmas is looking good for Wii owners. But, you know, generally I try to moderate my video game usage.
Mm.
It's like recreational drugs, which, of course, one shouldn't use at all.
No, never.
But were one to, you just, you know, once or twice a year.
Exactly.
Yeah? Ooh. It's time for the news now. Are you ready for the news?
I can't handle any more news. I can't handle the truth. All right? Say,
You want lies. You just want made-up news.
Yeah, I would love some made-up news.
Okay, here's the news for Adam. Here's the news for Adam Buxton. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
What Everywhere.
Else? How
That's
about
it.
Rabbits? Are they
rabbits
getting on okay?
All jumping around.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now here's the real news. Now.
Oh no. That's the Kinks with You Really Got Me. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, the home of the BBC and the home of music, and the number six. We are in our last half hour here. It's oh my goodness. Only half hour left of our show, and then it's the Queens of Noise coming up for 2 hours, and to take you to midnight. What?
They're here for 3 hours.
The 3 hour? What?
Do you want to do that again? They're here till
that was a disaster, that whole thing. Hey, there you go. That's the Kinks with You Really Got Me. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. This is the last half hour of our show. And then after that, the Queens of Noise will be here to take you through to midnight and beyond. Now, we were talking about television there while the music was playing a little bit. And we were grooving around to the music. Yeah, we're not just ignoring the music. We were grooving and jumping about and talking about television at the same time. What were your TV highlights this year, Joe Cornish?
Well, I enjoy Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
I've sort of fallen out of love with telly this year a bit, Adam, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
But the only thing I found myself watching was To the Manor Bowen on Living Television, which is a reality series about Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen's family moving to the country. I don't know what happened. I happened to catch it 1 week.
Then I pressed series record, and since then it's become sort of like eating, I don't know, processed cheese or something,
yeah,
or a big chocolate, you know, mousse.
A big,
but back to the chocolate.
A
mousse.
Big chocolate man.
Yeah. my girlfriend and I are quite obsessed with that. And but yeah, Flight of the Conchords. I like their songs a great deal. They could speed it up a bit. They could speed the whole thing up a bit.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm being pedantic.
It's good, man.
But it's that school of comedy where everything's fed out very slowly, which we should do more of. In fact, we probably do it anyway, don't we? Not to say that what we're doing now could be described as comedy, but when we do proper stuff, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, Flight of the Conchords, brilliant. Highly recommend it. What else was good?
Armstrong and Miller.
That was a very good. That was like a
smash.
Return to old school, proper, solid British sketch comedy.
Exactly.
Not too catchphrasey, properly thought out, nice and posh.
Really nicely produced, well written.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious, man. That was some of the best
very
stuff
good.
I saw. What else was good? I felt like there was a lot of good stuff on this year. I'm trying to think of it now, though. Oh, yeah, Peter Serafinowicz's show I very
that
much
was good.
Enjoyed. Well, I enjoyed the Jungle Show, you know. But things like Doctor Who and Life on Mars, which were the biggest stories on TV in a way, never really grabbed me, I must say, that much. Have you ever watched Life on Mars?
No.
I'm told it's amazing. Everyone
says
it's really, really good. I spent most of my time watching American stuff on DVD, you know, like The Wire and all that sort of business, which I really dug with a massive, great shovel. And also I got sucked into, you know, still dragging on with things like the Mystery Island program, Lost.
Mm.
Sort of looking forward to seeing that come back. But Heroes 2, I felt like a jerk. I felt like a jerk for watching season one of that. When that one came back, that was stinking the whole room out. I got out of the Heroes box.
Really?
Yeah. And then what was the other one that was similar to that? Prison Break. Very disappointing series 3, I thought.
Prison Break, he had trouble, didn't he? He got in trouble with the law, the man in that. I'll tell you about that during the next song.
In real life,
In real life, yeah. And but Heroes, the creator of Heroes, admitted that they'd messed up the second series.
So
there was a big piece in an American magazine with him, kind of, you know, accounting for his, what's the phrase for his sins? What's the phrase?
Atoning.
Atoning, that's right, for the sins they'd done in the first half of season 2, saying that they'd messed it all up. And pledging to recover.
Too little, too late, mate. Sorry. Yeah. But what though? How does the writer's strike affect all this stuff? Because I noticed Prison Break has gone on hiatus now.
No one's allowed to write.
Yeah.
We can't be sure. They might have resolved it by tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
But as of recording this transmission, it's unresolved. It's unlikely to get resolved over Christmas because everyone goes home and stuffs their turkeys.
Yeah.
And stuff. But it's looking a little bit bleak.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd love to have a pre-prepared list of TV highlights to look forward to, but I don't.
For next year.
I've got nothing.
Good.
Got absolutely nothing. I know there's going to be a new series of Flight of the Conchords, so I'm looking forward to that because, yeah, that's an absolute smash. And, hey, my show's going to be on BBC Three in January. Me, Box, the pilot, and who knows, that might even get commissioned.
Wow, that's exciting.
So, all that to look forward to.
Let's play some more. Yeah, some Pet Shop Boys. This is called West End Girls. You might have heard it. It's a kind of depressing song about being alone and gay in Soho in the mid-80s and hanging around outside shops. And you know what? It links cleverly with what we were just talking about, because Flight of the Conchords did a brilliant parody of it in one of their early shows in Series 1. Here it is, the Pet Shop Boys, West End Girls.
I think you were saying, we tie balloons on this steel walloy.
I doubt he was saying that.
He was, I'm sure.
I don't think
he
anyone
was.
Else uses that word.
Walloy. I'm tying balloons on this steel walloy.
That was Folds with Balloons. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming into the last little segment of our show here. And of course, from 10 o'clock, you can listen to the Queens of Noise playing all kinds of exciting.
Well, they're having like a big party.
They're having
got
a party. We haven't been invited. We've been told to stay away.
We've been told to get out of
Actually,
it because
I have been invited.
Have you?
Yeah, but you haven't.
Oh, no. Because we're not sexy enough, apparently. Or I'm not sexy enough. Joe's being allowed.
You figured it out. Oh. Yeah, but they'll be playing all sorts of exciting party music. And all sorts of crazy, probably chit-chat and talking.
Oh.
And bands are going to be playing live. It's going to be all over, exploding all over the shop.
All sprinkly.
From 10 till midnight. And then, of course, at midnight, everything changes.
What happens?
The world changes.
Oh.
It's a new year. All genetic material in all living beings and tissues renews itself. Snakes shed their skin. You know, all that kind of thing goes on. It's a brand new world.
And here's, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm getting my life together.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to start afresh.
I'm going to absolutely...
What are your New Year's resolutions?
I'm going to get incredibly fit and very tall within a week of the new year starting. And also, I'm going to stop torturing people.
Right.
Because there's just, I mean, it's just wrong to get information out of them like that. I'm not going to do it anymore. Not even if I really want to know stuff. I'm not going to do that. What about you?
My New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't know.
I'm going to also, my New Year's resolution is going to be over 300 DPI.
Really?
Yeah. Quite high.
That's high resolution.
Yeah, because I'm sick of just everything being a little blurry.
I'm going 1080p.
Are you really?
Yeah. Not 1080, not 1080i.
Right.
Not 720.
No.
Or 450.
That's a really...
I'm going full high definition.
That's the brilliant resolution.
Yeah, thanks, man. You'll be able to see every detail. Ooh. You'll be able to see the blackheads on my nose.
Oh, wow.
And the hairs on my ears.
Yeah. That's exciting. You know, I was just remembering... earlier on, I popped out to the lavvy there just during the Pet Shop Boys track and had a little reverie about previous New Year's, and I remembered one terrible one. You weren't there, actually. I was staying with some friends in a big house in Scotland, and it was a big party there. And it was in the olden days when we were doing the Adam and Joe show. It was our first series. Mm. And we did like a weird little sort of pilot series with just four episodes in it to begin with. And the fourth episode went out on New Year's Eve, 1997, I think. And 96 was it?
Yeah. Well, the first episode of the Adam and Joe show. It was December 96.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
And so it went out on New Year's Eve 97. And it was going out like, it didn't end at midnight, but it was, I think, on 11 o'clock or something on Channel 4. Basically, I forced everyone at this party to sit down and watch the show as it went out live, because I was so excited about it, you know. I mean, I was amazed that we had a show on TV at all. But I made everyone sit down and watch it. So basically the whole party ground to a halt, and they didn't really dig it. So it was very embarrassing, and I had one of the worst New Year's of my life.
Great.
Great upbeat story.
We're going to play a bit more music now.
Yeah, this is a smash. You know, again, I was talking about, what was it? The Clash. People sort of worrying about them selling out when they did. Should I stay or should I go? This was around the time that the Doors were losing it, as far as Doors fans were concerned. But again, I always had a soft spot for this one. This is from the album Soft Parade, I believe, and it's a track called Touch Me by the Doors. There you go. That's the Doors with Touch Me. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. That's almost it. Well, that's pretty much it for us here on New Year's Eve. Stay tuned for the Queens of Noise. They're coming up for 3 hours of madness and mayhem to take you through midnight and into 2008. But that's pretty much it. We're going to be back in the new year, of course. I mean, next weekend even, we'll be with you folks. So don't despair. Okay. And of course, you might be listening again to this show. It might not actually be New Year's Eve for you at all. Imagine that.
It's confusing, isn't it? There's no such thing as time anymore. What, with the internet?
They've got rid of time.
There's no such thing as kind of, you know, the social gelling of media.
Yeah.
Now it's disparate. It's schismed. Everybody listens to it at different times.
Exactly. No, you'll never have that moment when...
Get used to it. It's part of the future.
28 million people all sat around their tellies warming their hands to David Jason falling through a bar or whatever it was on Only Fools and Horses. It'll never happen again.
I think it's not true, actually, because that thing, Cramford, is it called Cramford?
Right.
Millions of people are watching that. That's got the biggest ratings in the world. It's sort of comfort, Victorian comfort food.
Yeah.
And you know what? Millions of people listen to this.
No.
No, you're right, they don't. So this has been Adam and Joe. Thanks very much for listening. You know, the record we're going to play out with is a kind of a hippity-hoppity record by Common. And, you know, things have been a tiny bit solipsistic on the show this week because we haven't had our usual feature. So we've done more than our fair share of annoying name dropping and that sort of thing. And I would go into a spiel about why this song means things to me, but I'm not going to. But I like it anyway, and it's one of the big hits of the summer.
You can go into your spiel. It's New Year's Eve.
Oh, it just reminds me of driving around Los Angeles.
With Miss Daisy.
With Miss Daisy, yeah. My white... elderly charge.
Yeah.
Who is racist, but,
you know, in a way that's sweet and sort of anachronistic, so I don't really mind. And they're making a film about it.
Really?
In the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's going to play you?
Brad Pitt?
Not Morgan Freeman would be better, I think.
No, he's not good looking enough.
Isn't he?
It's Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Playing me.
Good, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it?
Is that coming out this year?
It's tipped for Oscar success.
Right.
Yeah.
And they should, here's what they should call it.
Hmm.
JoJo's Drive Machine.
Yeah. Are they
Yeah.
I think they should call it that.
Or Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
No, JoJo's Drive Machine.
JoJo's Drive Machine. Yeah. Is that it then?
That's pretty much it.
Well, Happy New Year, listeners. Thanks a lot for bearing with us if you have for the last 3 hours. And we'll see you over the other side of the new year.
Yeah, listen, have a fantastic evening. I hope it all goes well for you, whether it's New Year's Eve or whenever you listen to this show. And thanks so much for listening to us in general here on Six Music. We can't wait to be back with you in 2008.
Yeah, here's our last record. This is by Common. This is called The People.
Love you, bye!
Bye!